On Mission Focus Day, it's probably very natural to ask, so where does mission begin? And we're more likely to answer that by saying, well, it begins over there, somewhere outside our present boundaries. Mission has to do, we would say, with a different culture and a different language. And that would, of course, be true. But it's not the whole answer. We would also have to say mission has to do with here and now. It has to do with us. It has to do with where we are. It has to do with our congregation. Mission is not only a matter of saying go. Mission is a matter of saying come. Moses and the people of Israel are just about to leave Sinai. They're setting out on the great journey which will take them to the land which God has promised. Now, as they're about to begin this journey, there is a man to whom we're introduced called Hobab. Hobab is the brother-in-law of Moses. But he is not an Israelite. And so, as the journey is about to begin, Moses turns to his brother-in-law and he says, "We are setting out for the place about which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you. Come with us and we will do you good, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel.'" Moses wants his brother-in-law to become part of the covenant people of God. He wants his brother-in-law to join him as they travel to the promised land. He wants Hobab to enjoy the blessings which God has promised to his people. Moses, the missionary, is convinced that the blessing of God reaches beyond the people of Israel. It's for other nations and other peoples too. People who aren't yet in the church. It's for the Midianite as well as the Israelite. Come with us. We want you to know what we know. The saving blessings of God. Come with us. That's how John Bunyan began Pilgrim's Progress. Christian has set out, leaving behind the city of destruction. He is traveling to the celestial city. And he is traveling as fast as he can. But not fast enough. Because in a little while he is overtaken by two men who have followed him out of the city of destruction, obstinate and pliable. And their intention is to get Christian to turn back and return to the land he's leaving. Christian will have none of it. He is determined to escape the city of destruction and to travel to the celestial city. Obstinate refuses to listen. Pliable is a bit more attentive. And Christian, noticing this, urges him. And he says, "Come with me, good neighbor. There are such things to be had as I spoke of. An inheritance incorruptible, that will never fade away, and many other things besides. Come with me, good neighbor." And Moses, the missionary, says to Hobab, "Come with us. There are blessings to be enjoyed." And this is surely a word, is it not, that a local congregation says, This is our mission statement, if you like. Come with us, and we will do you good, because the Lord has promised good things to his people. So let's look then at this invitation, this exhortation, this call. Come with us. Come with us, first of all, because this is the right road. We are setting out, Moses said, for the place about which the Lord said, I will give it to you. As long ago as the days of Abraham, the promise was given of a land which they would inherit. And now the time has come for the journey to begin. It's a momentous event. They're on their way to the land that's promised. In an orderly arrangement, tribe after tribe, setting out carefully and decidedly. And of course a Christian congregation can say this too. We are setting out for the place about which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Jesus promised his disciples, I am going to prepare a place for you. He points them to heaven, the place prepared. And he said, we're to live in that way. People who are laying up treasure in heaven. Come with us. We are setting out for that place. Matthew Henry says here, those who are bound for heaven should invite and encourage friends and family to go along with them. How good are we at inviting people to church to come and hear the gospel? Come with us, says Moses, because we are on the road to the place which God has promised. We are on the road to the place which Christ has prepared. And there is just the one road. Moses spoke with real conviction here. He wasn't at all hesitant as he addressed this man, Hobab. There's no doubt in his mind. He knew they were on the right road because he believed what God had said. We need the same conviction to be convinced that there is just the one road. Because we live in a day when people deny that. And they say there are all sorts of ways to be spiritual. It's all a matter of personal preference, and the choice is yours. Whichever you like. But it's not true. There is only one way to eternal life, a narrow way. We enter by faith in the finished work of our Savior, and the gate is small. You can't get through it holding on to sin. You can't get through it holding on to self. We enter by faith in Christ alone. And so the people of God today, as the people of Moses' day, really are saying the same thing. Come with us. This is the right road. But isn't there a challenge in that? When Moses turned to Hobab and he said, we are setting out for the place about which the Lord said, I will give it to you, it was obvious to Hobab that that really was the case. He could see that they were setting out for that place. He could see they were committed to that journey. He knew by looking at them, that's where they were going. And so when Moses said, come with us, we're setting out for that place, Hobab could see that's where they were going. He could see that they were pilgrims. That's the challenge, isn't it? Here are people with one goal in mind, with one destination on which their hearts are set, to arrive at that place. It was obvious. They'd all gathered. They were prepared for the journey. Is it clear? Is it clear that we are on that journey? That's the challenge. Does our lifestyle demonstrate it? Or could it obscure it a little bit? Because really our values and our priorities aren't terribly different to the people around us. Come with us. Will it sound authentic? Come with us because this is the right road. Secondly, come with us and be part of Christ's church. The gospel is addressed to us as individuals. The call comes to each one who hears it personally. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But those who believe are not left as individuals. They become part of Christ's church. The best place in all the world to be. Part of His church. The best body to which to belong, isn't it? Isn't it the best place to be? Come with us, and you will become part of this great company. And Hobab could see that great company right in front of his eyes. He could see all these people stepping out in obedience to God. And Moses said, "Come with us and we will do you good." It was a call to become part of that company, to join with God's people, to identify with them, to take their stand among them. To believe in the Lord Jesus means we become part of His church. We take our place among His people in a local congregation. That's what Moses is saying. Hobab, I want you to be part of this body. It's where the Lord's blessing is. This is the company in all the world that's best to belong to. You'll be part of the church. Come. Come with us. So what will it mean, Moses, if he does come? Moses can answer. It means that we will love you. Look at verse 32. If you come with us, we will share with you whatever good things the Lord gives us. Reminds you of the book of Acts, doesn't it? All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. True fellowship. When people come to church, maybe just to visit, or maybe to hear the word preached, they must see here is a place where there is love. Moses says, we won't ignore you. If you come with us, you will be accepted and cared for. We won't leave you standing in the vestibule on your own, wondering where you could sit or what this psalm book is for. When you read the notice outside and it says at the bottom, visitors welcome, you can be sure it means what it says. This is a great picture of local congregational life. If you come with us, we will share with you whatever good things the Lord gives us. Church is not a little comfortable group of people who feel really at ease with one another and are afraid that if anyone else comes along, it might kind of upset things a bit. Hobab was a Midianite. He came from outside. He wasn't a Hebrew. But Moses says, I want you to discover the blessing of being part of this covenant community. And that's how it must be in the local congregation. You will be loved for the sake of the Lord Jesus. We will be glad to share with you all the blessings God gives us. We will love you. But there's something else about being part of Christ's church. And Moses says this as well. He says, we will value you. If you come with us, Hobab, there'll be something for you to do. Verse 31, he says, please do not leave us. You know where we should camp in the desert, and you can be our eyes. You'll have some service to render. Hobab had gifts, obviously, which others didn't have. He knew things which others there didn't really know. He had gifts which could be of real value to the work of the kingdom. Isn't that a glorious thing? Isn't that a glorious thing? That everybody who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to be part of his body, is valued. They have a part to play. There are ways in which they will be able to help the work of the kingdom and live to the glory of God. Come with us, Moses says. Not just because we don't want you to go back to your old life. And not just because we want another family name to print in the presbytery financial statement. We want to see you coming into this body where you will be loved and where you will be valued. And actually it seems that Hobab did go. We don't see it in this passage, but later on in the book of Judges, we read about his descendants being in the land of Canaan. They had come into the covenant blessings of God's people. They had become to be part of the church. And references to some of his family members there in Canaan. Come with us. It's a simple invitation. It can't really be much simpler than that. Could I just say here that in the autumn, we hope, Lord willing, to have on the first Lord's Day evening of the autumn months, guest services to invite our family or our friends to come to hear the gospel preached. Let's think about that. And think about and pray about people that we would like to invite to hear the gospel. People that we could say, come with us. This is the right road. Be part of Christ's church with all the blessings that brings. Finally, as Moses turns to Hobab and says, come with us, there is another reason. You will know God's presence. We're setting out for the land that he has promised. And all the way, you'll notice in the passage, all the way that the people are journeying as they go towards that land, the Lord is with them. They have the visible evidences of his presence in the ark of the covenant, in the cloud of presence. Verse 34. The cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. They were assured of God's presence. And aren't we assured of that? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. Come with us that you may know God's presence. And let's notice what that means. It means that he will guide you. Verse 33. The ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them during those 3 days to find them a place of rest. He will guide you. What should I do? How can I cope with this problem How can I handle these responsibilities? Moses says, you can look to him. He is with you every day. He will never let you down. He will guide you. But also, he will protect you. Verse 35, whenever the ark set out, Moses said, rise up, O Lord, may your enemies be scattered, may your foes flee before you. Moses is praying that God will scatter the enemies of Israel who are trying to stop them getting into the promised land, that he will overthrow those who are trying to hinder them. There are evil forces at work in the world who are enemies of God's people. Behind them is the evil one, trying to devour those who are on pilgrimage to heaven. We wrestle against spiritual forces of evil. But Christ has assured his church that he is with them, and he has triumphed over the spiritual enemies. His presence assures us of victory. Interestingly, as we've been noticing already in our singing, in Psalm 68, David takes up these words of Moses and he uses them. Moses' prayer resonates down through the centuries that God will deliver us from our enemies. Remember what we sang? Let God arise and scatter those who all his enemies are, and let all those who do him hate before his presence flee. He will guide you, and he will protect you, and he will always be near you. Verse 36, whenever the ark came to rest, Moses said, return, O Lord, to the countless thousands of Israel. At the end of every day, at the close of each day, you will know that God is with you. He is near to you. Come with us. It's a gospel call. Simply put, come with us, because this is the right road. Come with us and be part of Christ's church. Come with us so that you will know God's presence. No wonder Moses was so insistent as he spoke to Hobab. He wouldn't take no for an answer. He spoke with enthusiasm. And why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? Look what he's saying. This is the right road, Hobab. It's the only road to heaven. There isn't any other. Christ's church is a place of love, and where you will be valued, be part of it. You will know God's presence, and in this dangerous, difficult world, you will be sure every day that he will guide you, he will protect you, and he will always be near you. Why would he not be enthusiastic? Come with us, Hobab. No, I don't think so. No, come. He won't take no for an answer. He's enthusiastic. And that's how it's to be. Whenever Charles Spurgeon, a young man, began his work as a minister, he went to a congregation called New Park Street. It was very small. And in a short time, it grew and grew and grew. And you will say, well, of course, Spurgeon was the best preacher in England at that stage. And that was true. But that is not the only reason. Because those who look back on that story will say, the other crucial reason was that the people in that congregation went to their friends and to their family and to their brother-in-law, the Midianite, and they said, come with us, because the Lord has promised great things for his church.